While we remain standing, I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer. But first of all, please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Right after prayer, we will engage in our scripture reading for the sermon. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, you have given all of your holy word to be written for our instruction, to shape us. So this day, grant that we may hear them and inwardly digest them, and so that by the patience and comfort of your holy word and Holy Spirit, we may embrace and adhere to your promises and live lives pleasing to you. So open our ears to hear your word, open our eyes to see, and grant us tongues to be employed in your wondrous praise. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Our scripture reading today is a bit odd. Not the scriptures, but the portion. If you'll join me in Luke chapter 1, I'll be reading from verse 39 to verse 47. Luke 1, 39 through 47. The living and active word of the Lord. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. There is a bit of an outline in your order of worship. It's on the insert. That might help you follow along just a bit. But let's state the obvious. The passage that I just read is located right in the middle of a story, and the passage I read ended with the beginning of a song. We are in the midst of a grand story. You and me, we. This is a grand story of the mighty works of the Lord. And the Lord's story throughout the Bible is usually accompanied by song. One thing we could say is that the Lord's wondrous works have a soundtrack. So today, stories and songs. We are in Advent, which is the beginning of the church year. And the church calendar actually travels along the mighty deeds of the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a catechism in time. Advent begins with the purpose and the promise of the Father, four Sundays before Christmas or Nativity. At Nativity, we find the presentation of the Son that continues into Epiphany, where strangers, outsiders, recognize Christ as King. We travel along into Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday, and we find the presentation of the Son. Jesus is presented as King on Palm Sunday. He is presented as the one who loves so much that he'll give himself on Maundy Thursday. He's also presented as the sacrifice on Good Friday. And then he is seen to be the victor, the risen one, the victor over death on Easter. So that's Father and Son. And then we come to Pentecost, the provision of the Holy Spirit. And we are trained to look to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit throughout our lives. So in the church, we have yearly reminders, times of reflection of our Lord's work, and rightly, they are appropriately adorned with songs. The first advent of Jesus is part of this grand story, and without surprise, that part of the story is accompanied by song. But let's begin with stories. We're in the middle of a grand story. Let's consider stories for just a moment. Almost everyone loves a good story. I've met a few curious folks who don't enjoy a good story. I'll confess that over the years, the telling and the reading of stories out loud was common in our home. Over those years, stories were read aloud during family meals and family gatherings. And at times, even guests were subjected to our reading of stories. Some of these stories became favorites, and retelling requests would occur. All of these stories shaped memories. Some of them even shaped behavior. Some of these stories were seasonal. Others were about the seasons of life, and some of them were even silly. Oddly, in a weird way, I'll admit, I remain a fan of fairy stories. You wouldn't be challenged if you asked why, but I'm going to tell you. Other than the astonishment and the wonder and the imaginary fear that is found in fairy stories, there are curiosities which pop up in the events. I have found over the years in my reading of fairy stories that they smell a lot like real life. In fairy stories, let me try to explain this, there is an apparent disconnect between just one thing and either great misery or great happiness. It seems an impossible connection. It seems as if it just doesn't make sense. What in the world does this have to do with that? Andy, don't lose the bronze ring or you will lose everything. Don't put down the diamond sword or, according to the challenge of Rumpelstiltskin, guess my name or your child will perish. Odd. What's the connection? It's just so mysterious. Be back by midnight or else. In some strange way, this ought to ring true for us. Don't eat the fruit of that one tree or else you'll forfeit the garden. If you eat the fruit of that one tree, death will be brought into the world. And then to the amazement and the mockery of Gentiles and Jews, the death of one upon a tree will bring life to the world. In our passage, an elderly woman who is called barren will bear a baby boy. In our passage, another woman, this one young, will also have a baby boy. And this one is even more astonishing, for the virgin shall be with child. How can this be? All seemingly impossible. Our story is astonishing, and this is because it concerns the great acts of the Lord. So today, on the second Sunday of Advent, our passage is in the midst of a grand story. Already so far, let me give you a little running start as to what's already happened. An elderly woman named Elizabeth and called barren is going to have a baby boy. His name will be John. We'll find that out by the scrawled notes of his daddy. That boy's daddy, Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, has been visited by the angel Gabriel and was given this news. Zacharias also is well advanced in years. He doubted this message and was made mute. Consider a priest, Zacharias was a priest, being made mute, silent for 9 months. Consider the minister losing his voice. It's almost happening today. That's not all. The angel Gabriel has also visited Mary, a young woman, who is also without a child because she is a virgin. And to her astonishment, Gabriel gives her the message that she, too, will have a child and will bear a son. All of this brings us to the passage that we read today. All of this is Advent. All of it is pre-birth. All of it is prior to Christmas. The passage we just read places us 6 months after the announcement to Zacharias. Gabriel gave the message to Zacharias, and then right after this, Gabriel gives a similar message to Mary, and that is where we are. So let's take a walk through these few verses, and we'll just take a running start and then draw some conclusions about the Bible and stories and song. Verse 39. Mary gets up and hurriedly scampers from Nazareth to go see Elizabeth in the hill country of Judah. Verse 40, Mary walks into the house, greets Elizabeth, who has been pregnant for 6 months now. We would say this is the end of her second trimester. Mary walks into the house and greets Elizabeth. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaps about or skips about, bounces about in her womb. I remember just prior, well, during my wife's first pregnancy, sitting at church and the baby would move. And I was looking forward to the movement of the baby. And so my wife would kindly take my hand and place it upon her womb, which is appropriate when your wife allows you to do that. And just amazing. You just reach out and then, ooh, thinking, what would it have been like for Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant, to have this boy bouncing about? The word elsewhere is used as leaping or skipping. I'm sure some of you mothers have felt something like that. Verse 41, Elizabeth is also filled with the Holy Spirit. What we're supposed to hear in this is a whole bunch of filling going on. Wombs are filled. Elizabeth's womb is filled. Mary's womb is filled. The Spirit fills Elizabeth. And then in the next verse, Elizabeth's voice fills the room. All of this, we're supposed to be filled with astonishment. So take a look at the next voice. Verse 42, and she cried out, this is Elizabeth, with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then she asks a question. How has this happened? And we don't get the answer, but we know the answer because we read the story. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Verse 44, she explains what just happened. Because likely Mary saw the look on Elizabeth's face when the baby within is going around. Verse 44, for behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And then, most appropriately, Elizabeth pronounces a blessing upon Mary. Verse 45, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Okay, it's an astonishing story. We're right in the middle of it. Right in the midst of the wondrous works of the Lord, I wonder what's going to happen next. If the story is going to be followed by a song. Well, Mary does speak in verse 46. And Mary said, and this is commonly a song, my soul exalts the Lord and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. I'm stopping there because there's so much more to come. Mary speaking is actually a breaking out into song. This is called Mary's Magnificat, Mary's exalting praise of the Lord. And it is the first of four songs right at the beginning of Luke's gospel. Two of the songs occur before the birth of Jesus, and that's Mary's Magnificat, and then Zacharias, in just a few verses, and in about 3 months, according to the text, is going to break out into song as well. Keep in mind, Zacharias the priest has been silent for 9 months. And he gets his voice back, and what's the first thing he does? You can see it later on in verse 68. He sings. At the birth of Jesus is the third song, the angelic choir. And then after the birth is the song of Simeon. We shouldn't wonder if we find the great acts of the Lord joined by song. This is found in the Bible from beginning to end. And what I'd like to do now is just to remind you of what you've already known over the years and to put it in this package of stories and songs on this, the second Sunday of Advent. The Bible from beginning to end shows the wondrous works of the Lord being joined by song. The Lord at creation. We'll jump to Adam. Because usually the first song considered is the song Adam sings about his wife. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. It's no wonder to find a song of marital union in a garden. And it's no wonder to come to the Song of Songs in the Bible, which is the songiest song of all songs. And you find it to be a song of marital union with garden imagery and landscape imagery. We ought not to be surprised. Bless you. However, at creation, it is also true that the angels sang at creation. When the Lord confronted Job in Job 38, he asked the question, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." The Lord goes on to explain and says, this all happened when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's a reference to the angels singing at creation, the wondrous angelic beings amazed at the Lord's great works. So that's the beginning. At the end, we know this in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5. The Lamb approaches, opens the scroll, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders join together. And what do? They sing a new song. And a new song in the Bible is always a song about what the Lord has done. It's not new as in, oh, this is a brand new thing. It's new as in it refers to the Lord's renewal and His work. So what do they sing? It's a song about the Lord's wondrous works. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Later on in Revelation, Revelation 15, seven angels grab the harps of God, and what do? They sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, rejoicing in what the Lord has done. Oh, the song of Moses. Exodus 15, right after deliverance from Egypt, deliverance from Pharaoh, and passing through the Red Sea, Moses leads the people with a song of deliverance. And right after that, Miriam joins together with all the ladies, and there's a ladies' choir, and they sing similarly. The Lord's wondrous works are joined by song. Deborah and Barak, Judges 5, they sing of the Lord's victory. Hannah sang in praise of the Lord for the gift of her son, another barren woman breaking out into song. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I almost said Hannah chapter 2. In Psalm 32, David sings about the Lord's wondrous work of forgiveness. Now, we know each other well enough to know this. We are amazed by the Lord's forgiveness of us, for what we have done. You know what David says when he speaks of the Lord's forgiveness? That wondrous work, Psalm 32, verse 7. He says, you have surrounded me with songs of deliverance. But there's even more. Do you know that our Lord sings over you when you are forgiven? Oh, I love this passage from Zephaniah, Zephaniah 3. The Lord your God is in your midst. He's a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. That's the very same passage where it says that your sins are cast into the depths of the sea. We're in the midst of a grand story. And curiously, oddly, I took you to a passage today and read from the middle of a story. It's a wondrous story because it concerns our Lord's mighty works. And I intentionally ended with the beginning of Mary's song. What's next? Well, let me conclude. For us, whether or not we have choir skill or a croaker, let's rejoice to sing the songs of the faith, for such is the right response to our Lord's wondrous works. We have many opportunities to do this every Lord's Day. Coming up again this Friday, Christmas Eve this year, lessons and carols, and this place will be filled with the story of Scripture and the songs of our Lord's wondrous works. So, I end with this. Let us join our voices to the biblical witness and accompany the wondrous works of our Lord with song, for we are his workmanship. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.